Blog Talk Radio.
Hero something.
Yeah?
Nostalgia.
Ooh. I've not ever played Guitar Hero. I'm not.
Ginger, you missed out on the whole Guitar Hero revolution.
I did. I watched it from afar as I was totally lost in WoW and all that fun stuff.
Oh, that's good fun there. You know, it's not as much fun to watch from afar as it is to play it. From afar, it looks like, oh, this is stupid. Why would I ever want to play that? But if you manage to play it and you got a nice little bit of a surround sound system or a stereo and you hear the crowd start cheering, or in Rock Band 2, when the crowd starts cheering and singing along with you when you're doing well, I got to tell you, I like that.
That is awesome.
I feel all warm and tingly. Could just be me.
I was looking at a lizard.
Oh, there's lots of interesting things going on over the weekend. Oh, yes. Yeah, it's been quiet, but not too quiet.
It's not been too quiet. I mean, there's steady news going on. Some of it just kind of makes me roll my eyes and go, oh my God, really? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but no. What did I play? Blog Talk Radio kicking in my ear. Stop that. I had a road trip this weekend, and I got to have a wonderful weekend with two beautiful, adorable little boys. I love my nephews. And anyways, we played Mario Party 9 all weekend.
Oh, you finally got to play Mario Party. That you hadn't played that one yet, huh?
I had not played.
I told you understand
the
craze.
Yeah, I mean, some of the games were kind of annoyingly simple, but some of them were actually hard.
Yeah.
Like the mini games in it. Oh, like, wow. But yeah, no, it was kind of amusing playing against my brother and my sister, or my brothers and my sister. And we get to the ones where you're like shooting things, and I totally like knock them out of the water. They're just like, how are you doing this? Honey, I play games all day. It's what I do. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And my nephews just in there cheering me on. And we had the whole little competition going, you know, Aunt So-and-so is my favorite. No, Aunt So-and-so is my favorite. Back and forth and playing. And, yeah, they were having a lot of fun watching us and telling us what to do and what we missed. And
aww.
I was teaching them to call my other siblings noobs and goobers. And, yeah, if the other ones got points, tell them that they were hacksering. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Mario was really good. Plight of the Zombie finally had an update, so it plays on my phone now. It's actually harder than I thought it would be. The first couple levels, I was like, really? This is all there is to it? This is simple. Yeah, then it gets harder.
And that's how they got you.
Yes. So there was a lot of me playing Plight of the Zombie all the way down there and all the way back.
Yes, and as you were still online, I was like, what is Ginger doing? Well, I got to play more Assassin's Creed because, y'all know, I very rarely get to finish a game. And Assassin's Creed has a lot in it that they can't show you when you watch trailers. A lot of people still haven't played it. I talked to a few friends over the weekend. It's like, I never picked that one up. But, you know, because they have the first two. The first two are kind of boring. This one is going to be more, or it is more for people like myself who love some deep depth in your RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Deep depth. I got to keep fun missions, and I got to keep an eye out and make sure they don't get killed, and level this person up, and keep a track of my thing, and wage war against the people in the town, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. So I got to sit down and play some more, because I accidentally erased my game.
Oh no!
Yeah, I was cleaning off my Xbox because, as y'all don't know, I refuse to buy a bigger hard drive. So I've had the same hard drive that came with my Xbox since the original one. Not my original Xbox. Yeah. Not my original Xbox, but it is my original hard drive. So I have kept it, and I went through, and I said, let me clean off some of this stuff because I have games and stuff on there from God knows how long ago. So I had to start over with Assassin's Creed, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
See,
I got
and that's what matters, is that you enjoy it.
I had a great time. And I got to tell you, some of you people out of worship, you, Carrie, I know you came by my town this morning. You call yourself trying to be nice. Fireballs for you later. Coming for you. As soon as my energy's up, boom.
Yeah, I haven't even checked in this morning.
I saw the unicorns you left. I saw the unicorns you left.
Oh, did you like those? Yeah,
yes.
I left those like Friday.
I was on my other, because, you know, I pulled a U and I have two, so I was trying to get that other one built up. So, but somebody's going down today. I'm sorry. When I'm done raising your village, I love that word raise means destroy. But when I raise your little town or whatever we call it, island, don't say you weren't begging for it. You were begging for it. What are you watching over there?
I was opening up a story on Yahoo, but apparently it had a video, and yeah, I was like, great, how do I turn this off?
That happened to me Thursday while we were doing the show, and it was really loud. I was like, oh, God.
It was really, really, really loud. Like, wow, I don't care. I hear your ad. I just wanted to read your ad. Yeah.
Well, speaking of games that everybody was playing over the weekend, I saw a lot of you playing Elder Scrolls Skyrim, and you should be, because tomorrow you get a new add-on called Dawnguard. Yay!
Oh, yay! That's awesome.
Okay. The vampire. Well, it's something to do with the vampire lord Harkon, and he's returned to power. So using the Elder Scrolls, he seeks to do the unthinkable, to end the sun itself. Where have we seen this plot before? So they're asking if you will join the Order of Dawnguard and stop him, or will you yourself become a vampire lord? It has an all-new faction questline, new locations, weapons, creatures, and all kinds of coolness. You can check that out at elderscrolls.com. I got to say, I have no idea what's going on with this storyline because, again, I'm one of those people that got into Elder Scrolls and just started roaming the countryside, killing people because I could. Why not?
That is true. You know, and that's why I love Corey, because she has this whole why not thing going on.
I don't always want to follow the storyline because it's so seldom I get to sit down and game for hours on end.
Yeah.
So I have to get in some stuff for just to roam around, find some little secret stuff, and, you know, go to, oh, look, here's a cavern. I wonder what's in there. Oh, people to kill. And then I, you know, if they're higher than me, I have patience. I will hit them a few times and run outside and then come back in and hit them a few more times until they unlock their health down and then go outside and then run back in again. So, yeah, I'm persistent. But I have no idea what's going on with any of the stories for the most part. And I still can't get rid of my husband.
You still cannot get rid of your husband.
I married him because, you know, I saw it in the little whatever I got, something I got that says, oh, you know, you could get married. So I got the amulet. I got married. I picked me a cute guy, and he is following me around, and I'm going to have to kill him a la Fable and just take him out and let somebody kill him, just some bandits from the countryside. He's got to go. He's getting on my nerves. He keeps following me.
Can you kill him?
I haven't tried. Maybe I should. Maybe he could stop being an adventurer with a sword to the chest. I don't know. But anyway, you guys.
That's hilarious. I like that. Yeah. Corey, the Black Widow.
That's right. I used to be an adventurer until I took a knife to the chest from my wife.
There wife.
There you go. Quit following me, man. I got stuff to do.
All right. So, Blizzard. Blizzard explains the Diablo 3 purchase lockdown some more, and it looks like there is even more to it. In a statement released, Blizzard Entertainment explains why they decided to lock down digital purchases of Diablo 3 for 72 hours. The sum of its statement is that all of this was done after the most recent patch to ensure that the game and the auction houses are not compromised and remain pure. The company also added the delay to stop hucksters and fraudsters from perpetrating credit card fraud schemes. I cannot talk. My energy stuff just kicked in, apparently. All right, so while Blizzard intended to thoroughly check purchases, the company said in its statement that it didn't intend for the wait to be so long or for there to be a level cap. This was caused by a bug in the new patch, which they are fixing. The statement also lists a number of standard security-related restrictions that will be in place for digital purchases until the payment verification process is complete. So what do we have? We have no public game access for unverified digital purchasers. All right, that's understandable. No auction house access, real money or gold, for unverified digital purchasers. That sucks, but I kind of get it. Unverified digital purchasers cannot trade items or drop items for other players to receive. All right, I get that too. Unverified digital purchasers are not able to chat in any public or game channels. All right, that's annoying. I hate that in free games. Or at least, you know, you give me a free version and then you don't let me talk, so I can't make friends, and then I don't want to stay in your game.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No, like, not
games are very much a social activity for a lot of people, so if you can't talk to anybody, you might as well go play a single-player game. Why would I want to play yours?
Exactly.
Even if it
exactly.
is free.
Mm-hmm. WoW does that, and I might have gone back. You might have got me from Mr. Pandaria. I started playing to level 20, free-to-play, and it was a lot of fun, but I can't group with anybody. They have to group me. I can't group anyone. And I can't talk in trade. I can't talk in anything. I can talk in local, and that's it. Oh, in group if I'm in a group. But again, I have to find somebody to group me because I can't group anybody. It's a little annoying. So, like, if you're playing with a bunch of free-to-play people, you have to find somebody who is paying for an account to put you all in a group and then leave.
You like to group people, Ginger?
I like to group people. I like to group them hard.
Daytime, Ginger. Daytime. At work, somebody just spit coffee all over their monitor.
Good. All right. So, unverified digital purchasers cannot attach friends requests, but they can send accept friends requests and can play with their friends. All right, that's cool. See, Diablo, they got that right for Diablo. Why can't you do that for WoW? And global play is not available for unverified digital purchasers. That kind of sucks. I mean, because, again, if I'm playing for some kind of free-to-play, I want to be able to roam the world. I want to be able to see what the game is and whether or not I actually want to pay you to play it.
That's
but this
right.
is Diablo, so it's a little different. I don't know.
They need to be cut.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And it needs to hurt.
Yes, no light surface abrasions for these guys. We're going to go for the wacky. Yeah,
okay, I have forgotten my story here, so I'm going to grab a new one. Wait a minute, give me a second here. I have to actually go back and look for it. I have a bunch of stuff open. I am so sad. So sad. I suck. Anyway, I'm going to move to this other one because this one is just interesting to me. Yay! Okay, so apparently people are upset about, oh no, I remember what I was going to tell you. Square Enix. Yeah.
Oh, what'd they do?
Well, Hiromichi Tanaka left Square Enix. Yes, he was the VP of software development and also the Final Fantasy producer, Final Fantasy XI. He cited he has some health issues, and that's the reason why he left. In a Famitsu interview translated by Andrea Song, the Square Enix veteran has been with the company for 29 years. According to GI.biz, he explained that he intended to continue creating games, but as an independent developer. Tanaka announced the news at VanaFest 2012, where he also praised his replacement, Akihito Matsui. The developer joined Square Enix back in 1983, and over his career has worked on some of the company's most famous films, including the original Final Fantasy in 1987, Xenogears in 1998, and of course, more recently, the very much hated Final Fantasy XIV that Snow cannot stand. Recently, Capcom's Yoshinori Ono spoke to Eurogamer about the intense working environment at the Japanese company after he, too, had to step down from his duties due to ill health. I am not believing you all are having too much ill health so much as you just wanted to go because they're working you a little bit too hard, which yeah. I understand, but don't say I'm sick and then go start your own company.
Yes, exactly.
They're working me too hard. I want to go off on my own. Sounds a whole lot better than I'm sick.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Is what happens if you're not actually sick and your company is not successful? You go to another company and be like, oh, no, you're sick. How do we know you're not going to get sick again and need to leave here? Oh, you are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So 38 Studios. I cannot believe we're still talking about this. Pulling this and getting all this stuff on. 38 Studios founder Kurt Schilling. I'm tapped out. Yeah, speaking to sports radio station WEEI, former Red Sox pitcher and founder of the now bankrupt 38 Studios, Curt Schilling, said that he is tapped out after his company filed for bankruptcy. Schilling said that he lost $50 million of his own money and is personally responsible for paying back a $2.4 million loan to the Citizens Bank parent RBS Citizens.
Whoa. You had $50 million to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Curt, I am not feeling sorry for you, honey. I'm sorry.
I know, right? He says, I'm tapped out, Schilling told the radio station during his first public interview since filing for bankruptcy. I put everything in my name in this company. I believed in it. I believed in what we had built. I never took a penny from this company. I never took a penny in salary. I never took a penny for anything. 38 Studio owes $150 million to over 1,000 creditors, but only has assets of around $22 million, according to a recent bankruptcy filing. Much of the money owes to Rhode Island Economic Development Corp, who is guaranteed $75 million in loans, who guaranteed $75 million in loans to the company. The money I saved and earned playing baseball was probably all gone, he added. Life is going to be different. Schilling went on to say during the interview that he wasn't looking for any sympathy and acknowledged the lack of proper management at the company, but also pointed out that the state did not act like a true partner in the venture. He continued to point the finger at Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee, whose public comments, he claims, ruined any chance of securing further investment in the company. He's got a point. Mr. Chafee, I'm hoping I'm saying your name right, or you know what, I don't even care if I am. You said a lot of things that you shouldn't have said to the press during this whole thing, and you totally ruined any chance they had of digging out of this. Finally, Schilling, a conservative who campaigned, I don't care about that, defended charges that he was a hypocrite for taking government money. I'm not sure where my stance and opinion in that would be. Smaller government. I'm not sure how that correlates to this. The program was there for local businesses to use. That money was literally coming out of the budget into our company, going right back into the local economy. Yeah, that was kind
of. I guess.
Yeah.
And I say one more time because.
I want to see the papers. Honestly, you're saying you're not taking any salary. You didn't take any kind of pay. Anything.
You got $50 million.
Yeah, and that, now you're saying, you know, you've lost all the money that you had saved up playing baseball, which makes me think you were looking at this company as an investment. You were going to be getting something back. So did you or did you not get any money from this at all? I want to know.
Yeah, you just nobody just invests in something because they want to lose on it. So
exactly. Yeah. I mean, maybe you didn't get anything because the company didn't make anything, but I am almost for certain, Mr. Schilling, you were planning to get money out of this somehow.
Not saying again.
Well,
Okay, I've got two Juicylicious. Okay, well, this next one is not so Juicylicious, but some of you that like NBA 2K will be excited to know that it is going to be free to play when it opens on the Tencent portal in China, that is. They announced the public launch of their free-to-play NBA 2K online game on, again, the Tencent portal, games portal in China. Selected players who have an Activision account can now log into the site, which is nba2k.qq.com, to test the title and to discover the innovative gameplay experience of NBA 2K online. The no data wipe open beta for N2K Online will save players' in-game data and records to ensure that their progressions are maintained and up to date when the game goes live. David Ismeller, who is the chief operating officer at 2K, says that they are very pleased that their partnership with Tencent continues to make progress and consumers are beginning to experience our world-renowned NBA brand and signature gameplay. Online gaming in Asia represents one of our organization's key long-term strategic initiatives. We are encouraged by this opportunity to complement our core business through leveraging our proven franchise and development expertise with one of the region's most successful online services. David, that is too wordy. So we're happy, and we hope y'all like it. There you go. NBA 2K Online is being co-developed by Tencent and 2K Sports in Shanghai. And I think we either lost our Ginger, but I'm not sure. There she is. She's back. Okay, so the online game service builds on 2K Sports.
That was annoying.
The online game service builds on 2K Sports' award-winning basketball simulation franchise in an exciting MMO format, matching and organizing NBA 2K simulation gameplay with an entirely new RPG activity, such as character personalization and quests and achievements. There's some other game modes that you NBA 2K people might like. Well, no, not really. Fully customizable content, in-game players, user-created tournaments, multiplayer teams, highly accessible design. You can use your keyboard and mouse to control and blah, blah, blah. And it's supposed to have a really great community. I got to say, I am interested. Part of the reason why I'm not a big fan of playing sports games is because I would rather it was more of a RPG format. You know, I get to create my football player and put him up against some of the real players and, you know, bid for a team and, you know, make my player the best player. Maybe he gets hurt and, you know, maybe I can have four or five people I'm kind of nursing to play different positions. That's what I like. And why I like to Blitz the League is because it had that format. Even though none of it was real, it was all, you know, this whole crazy thing where your player could buy drugs and it was a storyline going on with the mafia.
Yeah.
Oh, Blitz the League is the bomb. Those of you who've never played it, you got to pick it up. That is a wonderful game. It's not supposed to be real football. Don't take it as such. I mean, the plays are even fake, but they're based on real plays.
Nice.
But anyway, I got to tell you this next one because this is terrible. We try to get people in case that listen. Firefox. Bad Firefox. See, this is us smacking you on the hand.
Oh, that Firefox is going right now. What's going on?
You need to get rid of it quickly, Ginger. The latest update to the browser Firefox may have been an unlucky number. This is the 13th update, but it has an unlucky feature as well, a privacy slip that could allow anyone using your computer to view private encrypted pages that you previously visited. The problem is in a new feature that adds thumbnails of recently visited, favorited, or pinned sites on new browser tabs. Mozilla, the organization that makes Firefox browser, says the feature is intended to increase ease of use. When you create a tab, Firefox shows your top sites to make getting where you want to go easier than ever, it says. To enable the new feature, of course, however, Mozilla built the ability into the browser to take regular screenshots. Unfortunately, it does not stop taking screenshots when the browser is on a secure encrypted connection, meaning that users who have access to booking information or other private sites run the risk of that data becoming public knowledge when friends or family members use their computers. Hopefully they won't steal from you, but if it's your Aunt Toothie that don't like you, you need to be aware. The problem, of course, was discovered by a reader of the Register. The Register is a UK website, theregister.co.uk, who opened a new tab to be greeted by his banking balances and account numbers. Okay. Mozilla, of course, has acknowledged the issue in a statement provided to the Register, saying in part that we are aware of the concern and have a fix that will be released in a future version of Firefox. Mozilla remains resolute in its commitment to privacy and user control. The new tab thumbnail feature within Firefox does not transmit nor store personal information outside the user's direct control. What if you're one of those people who uses the library for your computer and you do your banking that way?
Wow, that would be scary.
Yeah, they probably is too late now. Mozilla has not said when the fix will be available, so advise any of you if you're sharing your computer with somebody. I know some of you are in college out there. You got roommates. Just don't do it.
Exactly. Back away from the Firefox.
Good God. Dangerous.
Okay. PlayStation 3 people, looks like you're getting some love. PlayStation 3 consoles get free shooter game. Sony on Wednesday launched a shooter title, PlayStation 3. Users can play in an unprecedented blend of hardcore console and free casual gaming. No Man's Land, released on PlayStation Home Network, was billed by the Japanese entertainment and consumer electronics giant as a first-of-its-kind free-to-play multi-person shooter for video game consoles. Veteran developer Vimy tailored the game to capitalize on strengths of PS3 consoles and the Home Network that is an online arena for players. Vimy saw a unique opportunity with PlayStation Home to evolve gaming by blending the immersive gameplay endemic to AAA games with the social and freemium aspects of casual games. Blockbuster consoles title launch price about $60 a copy, while casual games played on smartphones, tablets, or online social networks tend to be free, with revenue generated by advertising or sale of in-game items or bonuses. No Man's Land is a post-apocalyptic. Hold on, I'm reading this wrong. No Man's Land is set in a post-apocalyptic United States and lets players for teams to compete online. And time-tested kill everything that moves, death matches, or see who can salvage the most resources from the hostile land. Hey, does that sound familiar at all? Race through urban wastelands where chaos and disorder are ever-present, dodging enemy fire and exacting revenge on roaming bands of death-addicted warriors in a world gone mad.
Roaming bands.
Yeah. Trust no one because it's not about who's right, it's about who's left. Sony earlier this year began merging blockbuster console title action and popular free-to-play style gaming in its online community for PS3 users. Interesting. All right. If any of you all have played this, yeah, I've got to get my PS3 hooked up and download this. Check this out. So, yeah, I will hopefully be letting you know what I think about it shortly.
All right. Well, I got some interesting – wait a minute. Where it happened to my – I love when I lose my story. That's not cute, brain.
No, never cute.
Never, ever cute. All right. Apparently, one of the people over at PlayStation, speaking of PlayStation, said that apparently E3 needed some more castanets. Y'all know I'm talking about PlayStation Vita.
Vita!
This is from Mr. Yoshida. Shoei Yoshida has admitted that the PlayStation Vita was underrepresented at their E3 press conference this past year. Speaking to Develop Online, Yoshida discussed a string of tweets he received following the conference that criticized the absence of so many of the games being released for Vita over the next year. And he said, in retrospect, we should have spent more time showing and talking about our PS Vita title. He said, we had 25 PS Vita games playable on the show floor. We could have spent more time talking about those, but we had a very clear intention this year to make the total press conference shorter because we're notorious for holding lengthy ones. He says, I am hoping that journalists who are looking at the games on the show floor and getting the word out that way. No, Yoshida, we're not, because you cannot get a signal outside of that room. You've been doing enough E3.
Story.
Oh, gosh. Yoshida also elaborated on the importance of the PlayStation Mobile Initiative to realizing the Vita's potential. Sony has released an SDK that smaller independent developers can use to make games for Vita and PlayStation certified Android devices, which we told you about last week. Mm-hmm. He says, in the past, becoming a certified licensed developer for the PlayStation platform was not an easy thing to do. The development kit was somewhat expensive, he said. With PS Mobile, people can just download the SDK from our website, and when they decide to publish their game, they can pay us $99 per year to become the publisher of their content. So that includes PlayStation Vita, which is super, super smart, because Microsoft won't even let you have it, period. You cannot have the – remember we were talking about the tablet last week? And they have an SDK. They won't let you have it unless you're already a registered developer. So I don't know what Microsoft's doing, but it's surely not helping indies at all. Of course, Yoshida is saying, in his mind, we're still at the starting phase of realizing and showing the potential of the PS Vita. Sony's handheld has performed below expectations since its launch in Europe and the U.S. earlier this year. In March, Sony revealed that it had sold 1.8 million units worldwide, but Yoshida has since ruled out the possibility of a price cut in the near term. I think you guys should price cut it. It's still too fragile. It's not a durable system.
It's not. We looked at it, and I think the main reason why they did not show it was because they realized that nobody wants this darn thing. it's a failure, and they're just going to slowly try to sweep it under the rug. You know?
Oh, wait, I got more breaking news.
Oh, what you got? What you got?
See, all of it always wants to break while we're doing the air, which is good. Okay, so Google has released... or their next tablet has been leaked.
Oh,
the
yeah.
rumored Nexus 7 tablet. I have some specs. Will include a 1.3 gigahertz quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor. Yes, 1 gigabyte of RAM. And we'll start it. Get this. $200.
Really? Only?
Only. We're starting at $200. You know they're going to try to get you.
That's true.
Of course, they have their own conference that's going to be happening this Wednesday, and they're already selling the unlocked Galaxy Nexus Android phone, and rumor has it that Google will sell its own tablet running the Android operating system. Asus will build a tablet, but Google will brand and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
The report is actually coming from Gizmondo, which seems to confirm much of what all of us are hearing. Making it a near certainty that Google will introduce a tablet with these specs this week. The Nexus 7 tablet will have a 7-inch IPS display and a 180 by 800... Yes, 7-inch. 1280 by 800 resolution, 1.3 gigahertz quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor, 1 gigabyte of RAM, and a 1.2 megapixel front-facing camera. Battery life should run around 9 hours on a charge, which is good if you're... going to be stuck on a plane. You got a whole 9 hours. The device will also run Android 4.1, also known as Jelly Bean. I had to say it like that, Jelly Bean, because even though Google will likely introduce Android 5.0 at their conference called the I/O conference,
mm-hmm.
On the pricing front, Google will offer a model with 8 gigabytes of local storage for $200, and a 16 gigabyte model will run at $250, while the cost significantly undercuts the price of the $400 iPad 2 that won't be the primary competition. because of its cost structure, Apple's tablet will become a powerful competitor to, yes, you guessed it, Amazon's Kindle Fire and the Nook tablet and other less expensive Android-based tablets. Ooh, and we're still waiting to see where Windows is going to fit in with all this because they will not tell us how much it costs.
I'm going to go with expensive. Yeah,
also has no rear-facing camera. This tablet doesn't look like it has a camera on the pictures that we got. So I don't know.
People, do we really need a camera on our tablets?
I can say yes, I would like a camera on my tablet. Sometimes you're trying to be inconspicuous about snapping the pictures of a cute guy and you don't want him to know. You know what? That reminds me of something I need to address. I got a message from somebody over the weekend that was complaining about our innuendos on the show and saying that it makes the guys feel uncomfortable. Now you know how we felt all these years when you do it to us.
Who was complaining?
I'm not going to call him out by name, but just want you to know. Now you know how we feel.
You totally to call this person out.
Okay, I will not.
Do I know this person?
I don't know. But I want them to know.
Do I need to know later?
Maybe. But I want them to know. That
really?
This is how women feel all the time when you guys do it to us. When we have to listen to things or you have the girl standing there in the bikini and having her sitting in pods. This is how we feel all the time.
Yes. This weekend, I will totally admit I got conned to sitting and watching Miss Hooter something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
No, I did not. Thank God.
I was in there picking them apart. I was like, yeah, too much tan, big nose, she's hot. What's up with her walk? She's going to fall down.
She's hot, heavy, girl. You can't wear those things.
No, it wasn't that. Like, this one chick had this whole walk, and she was, like, sashaying, like, her no hips. She was trying to make her look like she had hips.
She was trying to pull the Tyra tip of pushing it out. You don't know if it pushed it out.
Yes, but she was doing that as she was walking, and she was on these heels, and her ankles kept just about folding underneath her. And it's like, you are going to fall and bust your butt. Seriously, you're cute. It's all right. Not every girl has to have the big hips. It's okay. All right, so anyways, bring on the llamas.
So llamas really, Ginger?
Uh-huh. Inappropriate llama disaster hits iPhones today. All right, so they say, oh, life is grim, isn't it? The Eurozone crisis, terrible weather, the saddening popularity of dubstep. Hey, I like dubstep. Well, we can't solve any of those issues, but Mediatonic is here to give you a distraction with a scientifically proven 83.3 chance of making you laugh. How? With our latest experimental app, Inappropriate Llama Disaster. Originally created in less than 3 hours during a Mediatonic game jam, the stupid llama made us all laugh. Like a child proud of brushing a macaroni blue masterpiece, we started showing it to people. Amazingly, it turns out that other people are as easily amused as we are. So we thought, nuts to it. Let's just polish it up and put it on the App Store. And we did. Isn't the modern world amazing? The premise is simple. Watch an entirely appropriate scene unfold. Choose the most inappropriate moment. Press a button. Bring on the llama. Get a rating. That's it. That's the game. Did we mention it's free? Yeah. See? Why don't you? If you want to find out more about the birthing of the llama, you can read our fun and interesting blog about it over at mediatonic.co.uk/blog. You can get the game actually in the iTunes App Store. It is called Inappropriate Llama Disaster. You guys, I love you. Please bring this to the Android. Please bring it to the Android. I want to play this.
Okay.
What I'm better is I want to be able to take a video and, like, be able to post in the inappropriate llama.
No, you're not right.
You know, that'd be fun.
I just want to tell you you're not right.
Taking a video of somebody's christening inappropriate llama.
Ginger!
What?
You are... She is raw today. Y'all come get Ginger. Come and get her.
If you come get me, please bring the jacket with the silver buckles in the back.
Yeah, she likes those. She likes those. Okay.
I've been taught up one.
Why are we going to have to restrain you for real?
I'm fucking sorry.
Why, though? That's not going to help you. It's not going to help us. You should hug yourself real tight, Ginger. All right. The people over at DailyAppDream.com, independent developers in particular, Skahal Studios, is proud to announce their debut title, Ships and Battles. And it's a free download and a special promotion for a limited period of time. For those of you who have yourself an iOS device, Ships and Battles HD is the next generation of popular pencil and paper game Battleship, which is a fun and entertaining maritime combat game familiar to most gamers today. Originally a guessing game for two players prior to World War One, it was published by Milton Bradley Company in 1943. That's right, Milton Bradley, those of you who have no idea who that is, they were like the PlayStation people of their time, but it was not digital. It was all paper. It was a pen and pencil game, and again, it was re-released in 1967 as a board game. It is compatible with your Apple iPhone, iPod Touch, and your iPad. Ships and Battles HD offers players the opportunity to partake in a modern version of this classic game by controlling the most destructive power of the seas using nothing more than your phone. Featuring simplistic yet beautifully rendered HD graphics, your mission is to compete. Why can't I talk today? We can never talk any day, can we? The mission is to compete against your friends and enemies in a battle to the death in either single or multiplayer mode, featuring four types of ships, four levels of difficulty, and different bonuses, including cool add-ons such as guided missiles, decoy vessels, and radar devices. This game is locked and loaded with cool features, with game center support, world-ranking leaderboards, and more than 30 achievements to unlock. Ships and Battles HD takes virtual maritime combat to an unprecedented level. You can pick that up on the iTunes Store now under Ships and Battles HD.
Yay! Awesome! So, what do we got? Speaking of HD stuff, Nintendo announces $199 3DS XL available August 19th. I think we've read this, maybe. I read something like this. Anyways, Nintendo on Thursday announced the Nintendo 3DS XL, the device which features a 90% larger viewing area than the original DS, or sorry, 3DS.
We did that, Thursday, lady.
I thought so. All right, so never mind. You guys already know about this. Okay, so let me grab another one.
Do you take another one?
I got another one. Video games drive up cost of lightning strike claims. All right. We all know that lightning is Mother Nature's kryptonite for high-priced electronics, and according to Insurance Information Institute, the cost of insurance claims related to damage from lightning has doubled between 2004 and 2011, even as the number of actual claims has gone down. The trade group representing the insurance industry says that expensive televisions and video games are the root cause of these claims. The Insurance Information Institute and a study released on Thursday found insured losses related to lightning strikes reached nearly $1 billion in 2011. That was actually down from a year earlier, and the number of total claims also fell. On the plus side, the Institute said that the increased use of lightning or surge protection equipment in homes was responsible for the decline in claims. From 2004 to 2011, the number of paid claims fell by about 33%. But the cost of claims related to lightning strikes and high-priced home entertainment electronics that get fried in the process has increased 93% to $5,112 over the same time period. The group says that flat-screen TVs, computers, and video game consoles are susceptible to power surges related to lightning strikes and are the core cause of expensive claims. And since lightning happens just about everywhere, it is not surprising that the National Lightning Detection Network recorded close to 23.4 million lightning flashes nationwide in 2011. At the end of the day, it sounds like the insurance industry is upset that it has to actually pay out some of the money it frequently charges its customers. Yes, yes, and all I gotta say is if my handheld, or like my phone, I thought fried from electricity a while back. Yeah, if that had, you would have been paying for it, babies.
Well, I got some bad news for those of you who are using gaming as your form of exercise or letting your little people use it as a form of exercise. A new study says that games do not combat sedentary lifestyles. A study of children using a number of high-impact exercise games has shown that having them in the home does not actually increase the amount of exercise which members of that household participate in. A U.S. university study reported by the New York Times reveals that instead of encouraging children to become more active generally playing video games based on and around physical activity merely leads them to overcompensate in other areas, resulting in no net gain or calories burned. Having distributed a number of Wii's to families with overweight children, some with extra gains and some without, the study confirmed a long-held academic principle that a sedentary lifestyle is a tremendously difficult habit to break, finding no evidence that children are receiving the active video are receiving the active video games were more active in general or at any time than children receiving the inactive video games is not the first study to have similar findings. The previous investigation into the use of Wii Sports in homes discovered a rapid fall off in usage statistics in the weeks following purchase after an initial flurry of enthusiasm. As for a comment on the studies by NYT, Nintendo offered a predictably anodyne statement, said, while Nintendo does not make any health claims with active play games like the Wii Sports and Wii Fit Plus, we hope that the games encourage users to be more physically active. They are designed to get people up off the couch and have fun. You know what? This is the most ridiculous study I've ever heard.
Yeah. Sorry, that's my phone.
Fantastically ridiculous study. In reading it, I had to pop over to the New York Times. You cannot hand somebody a Wii and say exercise. Obviously, some people are going to take a little bit extra motivation to get up off the couch than others. So you cannot say, we gave you a Wii and you didn't get up off the couch. For sure, at least they have to get up if you want to play. So they're burning some calories. I hate how they always paint this like it doesn't do anything. We here have also been party to losing weight by playing games, if you keep up with it. But you have to have the mental fortitude to want to get up and do it. And if your kids are not getting enough exercise, then after they get done playing the Wii, then you send them outside to ride their bikes. A lot of us keep our little ones locked up in the house. I know mine refuses to stay in here, even if I wanted her to. So she might be out there now riding her bike. So I don't like these types of studies. You need to give them a coach, and how I want to know what they were eating. Did they give them some, you know, foods to eat right? You know, also what makes you want to get up more is once you notice your body starts to change or you feel more energetic because of the exercise, you tend to lose weight. You tend to be less sedentary. So I'm going to need to see more. All right. I think Ms. Ginger has an important phone call to take. So I will tell you now about a new service called that is fighting against Netflix's UK takeover. Yes, Netflix is trying to take over the UK. You didn't know? They have a streaming deal with Fox. Love Film is an Amazon-owned rental service that has signed new deals with 20th Century Fox to bring a ton of new video content to its library of streaming video content in the UK. The company announced this just today. The deal is just the latest of Love Film to keep itself competitive with rival Netflix, which has launched its streaming video service just earlier this year. Love Film also signed similar deals with Warner Brothers, Sony Pictures, NBA Universal, Entertainment One, Disney, ABC, BBC, and ITV. UK Love Film customers will now have access to Fox's vast library of TV content, including early seasons of Sons of Anarchy and all seasons of 24, Prison Break, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Firefly, and more. These kinds of content deals are seen as crucial to remain competitive in the UK market. But even as Love Film keeps its streaming library up to par with a growing number of competitors, the move doesn't guarantee the service's dominance. They will also have to contend with, I'm sure, Redbox if they decide to move into that territory, and they're doing very well here, so it's highly a possibility that they may expand over into the UK. Speaking of Amazon, Amazon has gotten into the content business with four new original shows. Amazon will also is taking on Netflix even further and Hulu and traditional television companies by creating its own slate of original TV shows, according to VentureBeat.
Amazon.
According to VentureBeat, this is going to be starting with one children's show and three comedies. The move, of course, was expected. Amazon's new studio arm intends to produce several TV shows and distribute them through Amazon's instant video service. This is quite similar to what Netflix has done with the show Lilyhammer and upcoming project like David Fincher's House of Cards, Swamp Grove, Janji Kohan's Orange is the New Black, and the hugely anticipated fourth season of Arrested Development. Hulu also has original projects with the comedy Battleground, Morgan Spurlock's A Day in the Life reality series, and the unscripted travel show Up to Speed. Unlike Netflix's more traditional approach of hiring known Hollywood entities to create and produce its original programs, Amazon has decided to crowdsource its efforts and let anyone submit scripts to turn into TV shows. Ooh, I'm so in. The first four winners whose shows will be produced have been awarded $10,000 in options at the start for being selected. Amazon lists the following four shows as its first original projects. The first three are the comedies, and the final one is a children's show. The first three are called The 100 Deaths of Mort Grimley, It's going to be an animated comedy, and you have Doomsday. This is a mockumentary that follows an ensemble of diverse characters. Yes, as they ready themselves for the end of the world, including the group who made the Doomsday prediction. You have Magic Monkey Billionaire. Yes, this was written by a woman, because I immediately thought guy when I saw the name, but not so. When their wealthy magical owner suddenly dies, two animal assistants, Rabbit and Monkey, are shocked to learn that Monkey has been left his billions, soon unleashing the ultimate forces of good and evil as former friends turn to arch enemies. And you have Buck Plaid Sheep.
Buck Plaid Sheep.
This is for the little ones. It chronicles the adventures of a courageous little critter named Buck. Wherever there's a problem on Fleecy Farm, Buck races full speed into action in one of his souped-up vehicles. And although many things do not always go as planned, it's Buck's never-give-up attitude that makes him the sheep that always saves the day.
Oh, my God. Really, giggle? That does sound kind of funny.
It sounds cute for the little – it's going to have to be tiny, tiny little ones. I mean tiny, tiny, teeny, tiny, tiny little ones. You hear what I'm saying? The bigger Baby Matrix would throw something at me if I ask if you want to watch this.
I don't know. It really depends on how crazy it's going to be. I don't know.
She never liked Dora the Explorer. She never liked any of those shows that were on what was it? It used to be called Noggin. She liked the music videos, but she didn't want anything to do with the show. She didn't like Sesame Street. Her and Elmo had a brief affair, and that didn't work out. And I mean, it was brief. It was like 2 weeks long where she was like, Elmo, and then after that, I want nothing to do with Elmo.
Yeah, Elmo was never really my thing. He's kind of, I don't know, I never got it.
She threw something. They had an Elmo chicken they used to sell at Toys R Us, so when she was going through it, I went and I bought one for her, and he was singing. And 2 weeks later, I just remember I put it in the doorway of her room, and she threw her shoe at it and looked at me like, what? She's about three. She was like, what? Get that thing out of here. We broke up last week. Where's Jen?
Oh, wow.
So Elmo Elmo had to be given away. I don't know who has him. You have Elmo. I think I want him back. Which one of y'all did I give Elmo to? I want him back, I think.
All right. Did we talk about Habbo yet today?
No, but I'm pretty sure we need to.
Yeah. All right. So Habbo owners detail major changes to virtual world. Habbo owner Sulaki has issued a statement today announcing its plans to reintroduce chat channels and instant messaging within the virtual world that offer better protections for teens that frequent it against pedophiles.
Don't do it.
Well, it's an MMO. You're going to have some sort of chat going on. That's kind of the point of an MMO.
Don't do it.
A report from British TV channels 4 detailed how pedophiles were using the service to engage youngsters in lewd and suggestive conversations. Sulaki CEO Paul LaFontaine said in a statement that Habbo will become a protected democracy with clean, brief moderation policy designed to protect youngsters from sexual predators. The plan comes on the heels of the company's Great Unmute, which provided the company with negative and positive responses from users. The initial response to the Great Unmute was much larger than we could have predicted, and it took some time to deploy additional servers to get the site running smoothly. We received a high number of submissions over the 6-hour period, many of which are still being moderated. This was always intended to be a forum for legitimate users, and although we will not be moderating the main site in the same way, the blocking of inappropriate conversations is a sign of things to come for Habbo. LaFontaine went on to say in the statement that the company's plans to release more than 10,000 thoughtful, balanced opinions from our responsible users, adding that his team has read all the responses and have encouraged parents and anyone else involved or concerned to do the same. The content generated by the Great Unmute will inform and direct my long-term plan for the Habbo community, already in advance. Form. When I finally allow the online community to speak again, it will be an era of protected democracy. By that, I mean a regulated environment that protects the free speech as well as the safety and interest of the legitimate user community. I understand these interests better because of the Great Unmute. LaFontaine closes by saying that this new concept is a pioneering step in an industry that he admits is poorly regulated, and that the functionality of the virtual world will be turned back on its phases. On it phases to make sure the changes work. The first live tests of the system are taking place in Finland now. You know what? It sounds more like you had this game. You finally got your pee-pee smacked because you weren't policing it like you're supposed to. You weren't taking care of these children like you were tasked with doing. And you wouldn't be doing had you not had this happen.
Exactly. I completely agree. They did not handle their business, and they got caught, and now it's, oh, we're revolutionizing. We're doing something nobody's done. We're doing this from day one.
Yes, yes, especially because you are a children's game. This is what you advertise to. This is your core, or who your core audience is supposed to be. You should have been looking out for them from the start.
Bad, bad developer.
You need your pee-pee smacked repeatedly.
And Ginger's just the girl to do it.
With a ruler, baby. Sharp edge down.
Oh, Ginger.
What?
Ginger, that's me.
Well, did you expect me to be sweet and nice?
No, I just wanted to tell you it was me.
Okay.
Just, you know, well, wait a minute. What happened to my... Okay, yeah, here we go. So those of you who are playing your Dungeons & Dragons online, I never really got into it, but some of you like it. Warner Brothers Interactive announced today that Dungeons & Dragons Online, Menace of the Underdark... Underdark, really? The first expansion to the award-winning massively multiplayer online role-playing game has now gone live. This expansion ties into the Wizards of the Coast Rise of the Underdark campaign and gives Dungeons & Dragons fans the ability to engage with the drow narrative of the PC platform. Menace of the Underdark can be purchased now at their website, underdark.ddo.com, or you can get it on Steam if that's what you like. They're saying, or more specifically, Fernando Pates, who's the executive producer of Dungeons & Dragons Online over at Turbine. We haven't heard you guys say or do anything in like forever. They say today marks a major milestone as we release our first premium expansion to the Dungeons & Dragons Online universe. He says, Menace of the Underdark delivers a wealth of content for our players and introduces significant engine upgrades that allow us to bring to life everything, I guess, in a striking, visually impressive manner. Two of the most requested features, the new druid class and access to the Forgotten Realms thing. Forgotten Realms adventure packs. Why can't I speak today? The King's Forest, where you can explore deep into the King's Forest and defend the village of Evening Star from Lolith's drow legions. Maybe it's because I'm tired of reading about these freaking orcs and trolls. That's
Maybe,
what this
very
is.
Possibly.
And druid classes. You know what? Bring on the secret world and Watchdogs.
Yes, I cannot wait.
I'm quickly becoming obsessed with Watchdogs. I'm trying not to, but it is everywhere I look. I was forced to watch the trailer, not the gameplay one that we showed for E3, but the actual trailer that explains what the game is about, and I am addicted. I think I'm in love. I'm obsessed. I'm going to start stalking Watchdog.
Really? Is it that good?
I am. You have to watch it. I got all chills. Hey, that's good writing right there with that game. We were saying it was the E3 darling, and we kind of covered some of the thoughts of it. That trailer, if all that stuff makes it into the game, it's going to be beautiful. All of the stuff in the storyline is based on actual real-world things that you are able to do with a computer. And... it mentions something about a blackout, and I'm not sure if the blackout happened, honestly, because I don't live in New York, so I don't usually keep up with you guys' stuff. You know what? Actually, no, I do remember that blackout. Oh, my God. I was working for a company in New York at the time that blackout happened, and if it's true that one person caused it, and they're saying this one person caused it because he had access to the entire grid, and it said, and now we flash forward to 2012, and everything is controlled by computers, and it said, what happens when somebody else gets pissed off and decides to do the same thing and shuts down the entire world. So they're talking about all the access to data that we have about each other, and they were, you know, when they flash forward a little bit further, I think Watch Dogs is supposed to take place in 2015 or 2023 or something like that. But the guy is walking around, he can see all kinds of things about you, like if you declined for your home loan, or you know, you posted nude pictures on Reddit. I'm making the Reddit part up, but I mean, it can see all this personal information about you, all because of the internet. And all the things that when they break down to you how all this stuff works together is actually very, very real. So I was getting chills watching the trailer going, oh, this is going to be a good game, and oh, I'm scared and I'm paranoid.
That does sound like a good game.
That's good writing.
Yes.
That's what I want. And no more orcs and trolls. Please stop with the...
No. I've killed enough orcs. I've killed enough rats. That's all right. I've collected enough bones and pieces and things. No.
Until I actually see an orc or a troll, I'm tired of it. I know that there's a possibility of zombies because I saw the man eating the other man's face. So I'm saying, if you're going to make another MMORPG, I would like to see Zombie Lane turned into an MMORPG.
Oh, my God. Yes, I love that game. Man, I need to go back and check that. I have not checked it in forever. I bet they're all over my face.
It's rendered, I think, unworkable now since Facebook did upgrades. A couple of my games are gone. But since they did an upgrade, something to do with security setting, and you know how Facebook is like a maze, so I can't find.
Yeah, that's true. Because I loved Zombie Lane. I had it all set up. My whole area was zombie free.
And I got to steal another one from you, Ginger, because I already posted that I was going to say it. Okay.
All right.
What's the deal with the motorbikes and the bridal gowns? Yeah.
The what?
Motorbikes and bridal gowns. It's all about Nina Kalantow. Right. Of course, it said she would look good even in a potato sack. However, the Secret Files 3 animation arts tailored several different outfits for their shapely red-haired adventure. That's right, I've got a red-haired girl.
Red hair!
Yes.
Nina has made her first appearance in Secret Files 3 in the most meaningful dress a woman could possibly wear, a bridal gown. But she wouldn't be Nina. Yes, but she would not be Nina if they had opted for a fairy tale princess dress. How could she possibly get herself into the church on time, riding her bike with yards of full gold, getting caught to kiss the asphalt instead of her groom? Therefore, Nina picked a short white number that gives her freedom of movement, hopefully not because she's planning to make a run for it when she approaches the altar. Run, girl, run.
Run. Don't look back. All
right. Anyway, this is from the Secret Files game, and they are asking you to go over and vote on what you would like to see her dressed in. Of course, we're sending you over because you know what we're going to do, don't you, if it's too provocative.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Files 3 is from Developer Animation Arts, and it features a movie-quality storyline. It's supposed to be a variety of great locations, among other things. The game follows the traditions of its popular predecessors, Secret Files, Tunguska, and Secret Files 2, combining a gripping story with entertaining gameplay, logic puzzles, and gorgeous graphics. The third installment is supported by an experienced team of authors from Neo's film, who have already successfully worked on TV and movie productions, and now called upon to develop the plot, drama, and choreography of characters. Festinus Fonds sponsored the cooperation as part of its game support program. As before, Secret Files 3 will offer adventure games, clever but never unfair puzzles as the new locations all wrapped in a thrilling story. Anyway, you can check them out on the Secret Files games on Facebook. Okay, she's not slutty. She looks like she's in The Sims, actually. What the hell's that? Did people at The Sims know you borrow their picture? They know
wait. Like, is she pretty Sims or like?
Oh, she's pretty Sims. It looks like
need,
the Sims 3.
To properly approve of this? Because I know some of those Sims, I was like, no.
Well, you saw my girls. My girls were dressed tight.
Oh, the one you showed me the other day? Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm checking out her dress. Okay, it's not too short because when they said short number, I'm expecting all the way up the thigh and stuff.
I need a link. I need to see this.
Oh, you got the. Let me share it on my Facebook page, on our Gamer Girls Radio page. And the rest of you can check it out, too. And let's know what you decide to do. Some of you guys are probably going to say, shorter. And guess what, Ginger?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to go.
Oh, it is.
It's time for us to go. Bye-bye.
It's time for us to go. Bye-bye.
Anyway, we will see you guys tomorrow, of course. Will you get us twice? Yes, twice. Two times in one day. Please try to control yourself.
And we're very sorry if our innuendos make you uncomfortable.
She's not going to let it go.
In your pants. Yes.
All right. We'll see you guys know where to find us. GamerGirlsRadio.com, GamerNatrix.com, a blog talk here anytime, day or night. Download us. Take us with you on your iPad, on your iTunes, on your Zoom if you still have one, on your phone even. Yes, we know, little English lady. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mario.
Later, boys and girls.